Good morning, conference, again. Are you all waking? Could I ask you all to stand up, please, and turn around and shake hands with the person behind you, just to make sure that you know who is in the room and that you're friendly.
In a valley.
Yeah, higher than I.
Right. Any closer, anyway.
Where am I to go? Oh, dear.
Right, don't take all day about it. That's enough. You don't need a hug or kiss, just shake hands and sit down again, and that'll be quite enough. All right. Thank you very much. Okay. We've had a previous panel, which was a very important topic, and all went very well, and this is going to be a similar process, only that I have a bigger group to work with, so I have a wee bit more managing to do to try and keep these people in order. But the next topic that we're going to deal with today is local government. And local government, as we know, is often referred to as local councils. Now, you'll see in the screen, I'm going to just put up a couple of slides. Back in 2015, local government went through the most radical change of its history, amalgamating and merging 26 councils into which is now known as the 11 council structure. And again, we should have that up, so that'll give you some idea for those that are not familiar. Now, this amalgamation process was a major challenge for all both involved, both councillors and council staff. And there was a lot of taking on board and a lot of embracing needed to be done to make that whole process work. However, albeit I believe that we have eventually got there. A little bit of kicking and screaming at times, a little bit of pushing and shoving, but eventually we have arrived. And the Leven Structure Council is represented by 462 councillors. And I like to refer to them as the foot soldiers. Because you see, I believe that councillors are on many occasions at the forefront of the day bread and butter issues that affect our people. And we're proud as a party of our foot soldiers, and that has been referenced by our party leader, by our party leading team, and by many of our MLAs and MPs on many occasions, that the councillors that work on the ground do a fantastic job, and we're proud of them, and rightly so. And I'd like you to put your hands together, not only for the representation here, but for all of those that there.
Help yourself.
The graph on the screen will give us an idea at the minute of our makeup of councils. So out of those 462 councillors across those 11 structures, 122 are representative of the DUP. And again, we're very proud of what we have achieved in respect to that. So 25% plus are our own. We're absolutely delighted this morning to have a representative from each of the council areas. They have very gladly agreed to take part in this. I'll say that reluctantly, but anyway, we're going to have some discussion around local government this morning. And what I would say that this session is to both educate and to inform us of, as a party, about moving forward together. And so without any further ado, I'm going to just start with Margaret here at the end, and I want them to introduce themselves, tell us who they are, a little bit about just their council representative and the many years that they have served to date.
Hello. Good
Speak
morning.
Light. Good talk.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Margaret Tinsley, and I'm one of the 11 representatives that represent Armagh City, Banbridge and Craigavon Council. I was co-opted in January 2015, and I was then properly elected in May 2015, and I've had the privilege and honour of serving the people throughout that time. Thank you.
Go ahead, pass it up.
Good morning.
I'll ask you to keep your applause to the end, just of all, just for time purposes.
Good morning, I'm Scott Carson. I represent Lisburn North and Lisburn and Castlereagh City Council. I was co-opted in September 2013 onto the former Lisburn City Council and then was elected in 2014 to the new Lisburn and Castlereagh City Council. Thank you.
Okay. My name is Alistair Cathcart. I represent Bankers Central DEA and Ards North Down Borough Council. And I have been there, on the previous North Down Council since December 2013.
Chair, my name's Alan Lewis. I'm a councillor on Newry, Mourne and Down. I was elected in 2019. I was originally an Ulster Unionist councillor and seen the light over to the DUP.
I'll allow you to applaud that. Good man.
I'm Keith Kerrigan. I represent the Derg DA, covering Castle Derg, Newton Stewart, Tyne Mills, and Londonderry and Stabland as the council. We'll call it that. There are others call it different names, but I was elected in May 2019.
I'm John McCauley. I represent Causeway DA on the Causeway Coast and Glens since 2019.
My name's Cheryl Burnley. I represent Carrick Castle Ward in Mid East Antrim Borough Council. And I was elected first in 2014. Loved every minute.
Good morning, everyone.
Hold your makeup.
I'm Jeannie Archibald Brown. I was elected to represent Ballyclare DEA in 2019, and I'm very happy to be on Antrim and Newton Abbey Borough Council.
Sarah.
Morning, everyone. My name's Sarah Bunting. I have been a councillor in Belfast City Council since 2019, and I represent this beautiful area of South Belfast, Balmoral DEA.
Morning, everyone. My name's Councillor Earl Thompson. I'm on Fermanagh Omagh District Council. Went on to council in 2010 to the Legacy Omagh District Council. Served as chair of the council 12-13 year, and then stood for the new council of Fermanagh Omagh. I was just out of the chair there in June of that council. Thank you.
Okay. And I'm from Mid-Ulster representing, and I'm the reason I'm doing this is I'm the grandad of them all. I have 33 years behind me as local government, and so a little bit more years, but maybe not a little bit wiser. But anyway, put your hands together for the team here. So let's get into the discussion here. So strong voice for unionism is our first type of theme, and we want to go straight into questions. So what challenges have you faced in promoting unionism and your Ulster, your unionist culture in council? And we're going to start up with the Northwest. How's that there? Off you go. So I want you to look at it from the point of view of being a minority voice.
Well, to be fair, we're sitting there, our group is five on the council there. We are a minority. There's only nine unionists elected out of 40. And realistically, there's a lot of other groupings now on the party, on the council. It's not just the Sinn Féin and the SDLP. There's a lot of smaller parties on there, and really they just want to try and rewrite history, rewrite the narrative. You would swear when you would be at council meetings there that you know, the only difficulties that ever happened within Londonderry or down into the Castle Derg and the Stabland side were a fault of unionists, or a fault of the British government, or a fault of the of people that wore a uniform, be that in the police or the army. And that's the whole time, and they're just trying to rewrite the narrative. And thankfully, I have a lot of experienced men along with me there on the council, and they don't like it, but they're very much reminding the others that are on council of the history and of the atrocities that were carried out by those that they seek to represent. So it is difficult, but we have to stand our ground, we have to keep fighting, and we just have to keep pushing of what has happened and try to fight for Owen, because you know, on these councils where you don't have control of it, you're going to be getting very much the crumbs off the table. So you have to fight your corner and fight for the people that have elected you and represent you, and you've just got to do the best you can.
Very good. Thank you very much. Alan, I want to take the same question about that whole minority thing, and I want you to take it from the point of view of language and maybe from the Ulster Scots a section of the thing. So,
thank you. Sure, yes, we also have a very nationalist dominated council. We have 41 councillors in total, and 8 of those councillors are unionist. And there's this constant agenda on Newry, Mourne and Down Council to push forward the Irish language. And we would want to say that we have nothing against the Irish language. We appreciate it. We appreciate the history of it. But it's clearly being used as a tool to make us feel like second-class citizens within our own council area. You're in a ridiculous situation that you go into the leisure centre and you almost have to use Google Google Translate to try to find your way around the centre, and they have split up every town and village and road into English, Irish, and it's really a head count of who lives on that road, if there's more unionists, if there's more nationalists, and instead of focusing on the bread and butter issues, getting things done, delivering for people, there's this constant obsession with pushing a party political agenda, and that's something what we now have a good, strong five DUP team on Newry Morning Down Council, and we will tend to fight day and daily for everyone we can.
Well, thank you very much. Well done. John, from your point of view, Keith talked about rewriting the past. How is it with you in that sense, and how is it in your council, getting that promotion of unionism and rewriting the past?
I'm over here, Paul.
Sorry. I thought you were sitting over there.
we're slightly different, being in a unionist majority council, but it is very slim. You see it day and daily. We only have to look back to August, where 70% of nationalism agreed with the ludicrous claim of Michelle O'Neill that there was no alternative to the IRA's campaign of violence. That's at the high level, but you get it then through the chamber in the smaller topics. One prime example we had was the air show for the Queen's Jubilee, and Sinn Féin continued to raise this about the cost of it. And the reality was, it's because the military was involved. It's because it was for the Queen's Jubilee. But it goes much more than the Sinn Féin agenda of rewriting history, because they're now supported by their other shades of nationalism. So we have SDLP, who claim to oppose some things, but all they are is a lighter shade of green. And then, of course, nobody in here needs to know about Alliance and the threat they now pose, and they're simply a yellow shade of green. So we now sit with a slim majority of one, and at all levels, council right up to Stormont, we're going to get it through all levels of education, the media, everything. It's their agenda, and they'll not settle until they have everybody believing that they were right and we were wrong.
Okay, thank you very much. Hello. This is the opportunity for you to participate. So we're going to have, first of all, just to try and get a ratio of where everybody's from, we have listed out all your counties. So County Antrim, Armagh, Down, Fermanagh, Londonderry, Tyrone, or if you're from outside the province. And so if you have your little keypad there, you can push the button now, and that'll give us, first of all, to start off to see where our makeup of our audiences is from. Okay, off you go. Wow, there we are. Oh, Antrim taking the lead there. Very good. All right, okay, so party will take that on board, and that'll help us in that there. And then the second question that we have for you, the audience here, are you satisfied with your local government that your local government represents your identity and culture? And I reckon that this will be a very split question, east-west. So again, that'll help us. That's why we did the first part. So off you go again with your button, and one of four. Oh, right, very good. That's better than I thought, to be honest. So there you are. That means we're doing something right. Well done. Okay, moving into the second theme, achievements and aspirations. So question two, what have you achieved in the past 3 years, and how can we work collaboratively better together going forward? Alistair, I'm going to start with you. So I want you to deal with the efficiencies and maybe issues of fair deal and rate pay and stuff like that there. So if you would kick off with that, please.
Yeah, I think the best way Ards North Down have tried to get delivery and to get best value for repairs is to exploit and to seize the opportunities from external funding. For instance, the Belfast City Region deal is a really good example of that investment coming into Ards North Down. For the area that I represent, Bangor Central, the biggest issue is regeneration of transforming the seaside city. And that region deal will bring in $80 million to develop Bangor waterfront. Furthermore, there's an area of Bangor called Queen's Parade, which has been a long time issue. It was actually voted Northern Ireland's worst eyesore. It's been a vacant site for 30 years, right in the heart of the city. And DFC bought the site and were offered it for development to develop, and a $50 million project was put forward, and it was put through planning. Unfortunately, then the Minister for Infrastructure ridiculously held it within the department for 400 days. So I, myself, and other members of the DP actually worked with across all parties to do a bit of a protest. We went up the storm with some banners, and we also did some letters of to Nicola Mallon and to the chief planner, and eventually they caved in and gave the application back to the council. We were able to pass that, and that will bring $50 million of private investment right into the heart of the city. And I keep on mentioning city because we did achieve that. That is something the DEP group on Ards North Down pushed for, well, certainly in the North Down end of it anyway. And that was another opportunity, a free opportunity as well, which it didn't cost any money to apply for it. And we, to be fair to council officers, put a terrific application forward that and we got the wonderful confirmation on that. And that's, again, opportunities for investment. And I certainly encourage that towards the city. And also what's nice as well, that as a thank you for Her Majesty for giving city status to Bangor and for achievements of the Platinum Jubilee, we Pushery Council a proposal that we name a significant building or place in Bangor after the late Majesty. And we debated that 24 hours before she passed away. We didn't know that was going to happen, so it'll be a wonderful legacy to Her Majesty. Oh,
well done. First class. Cheryl, one of the issues that we had looked at was on the basis of accessible play parks and stuff, something that is very important for our children and families. That was something that we took at. I want you to take the same question and apply that principle to it. So what have we achieved and how can we collaboratively work together?
Thank you, Chair. Well, from our Mid East Antrim group, I know one of the things that we continually promote, and it is very, very high on our agenda, is inclusive play for all. We've continued delivered. We have an Out to Play strategy 2020 to 2024, which commits £1.5 million to improve our play areas. We understand that there's barriers. We want to ensure that we remove these barriers so every child has the right to play and the right to play within excellent locations and facilities. Most recently, we've also improved Leg Park and Fergus, and we've included in that a sensory play pod. So we also have sensory play accessible equipment to allow every child to interact to their fullest ability. It's something I know that as a parent myself, play and play parks are high on my agenda, and it's something that we want to continue to deliver. And I know that throughout Carrick, Fergus, Ballymena and Larne, we've seen significant investment, and it's something we're going to continue to do.
Well done. A round of applause. Sarah, same question. Achievements over the last 3 years, working collaboratively together, maybe you want to take it in a lighter context?
I think it's really important that we all work together across councils as well as in our own council groups. Obviously, some of the decisions taken by maybe unionist-dominated councils can affect some of the more nationalist-dominated councils and affect how those groups have to change their approach to things. But I think as independent council groups, we all need to work together as well. So across Belfast, even though within South Belfast itself, we have very different challenges for the two different DEAs, but we often find that what we are dealing with in South Belfast, our colleagues in East Belfast will be dealing with the same thing, and that's where we can come together and work together. And more recently, we've done that on the need for more grassroots football pitches and better quality pitches for our grassroots teams. I think the public like to see us working as a team. They like to see us working together and putting forward a positive message together. And if we can get out there into those communities and show that we work together as a team, that we can deliver for them as a team, I think it's a positive thing moving forward.
Well done. Thank you. Good answer. So time for audience participation again. So on your screen, you should have a question. Rate the following council services in order of your importance to you. So this is a personal choice, and you have a list there, and therefore let's press the button and see how we're going. Just conscious of time, so we need to just keep moving.
He's going to be dog licensing.
Okay, so there we are, recycling and waste management. That doesn't maybe come as a big surprise based on the some of the issues recently, but there we are. So those are things that, again, as a party, that we can take away, put into some sort of a spreadsheet, and that forward that out through and try and influence our policies going forward. Thank you very much. On to the third theme of our panel question this morning. This is to do with personal experience as a councillor, and we're going to ask the question, what advice would you give to anyone who's here this morning considering putting their name forward for election? And as I said, I'm the granda, and therefore I'm coming off the end of the radar, and we need young blood and new blood coming up to take our place. Earl's clipping on my heels, and therefore we're going to go straight to him and ask him that question first. So off you go, Earl.
Well, thank you, Paul, and thank you, audience. Well, I suppose I've been council since 2010 now, and I'm 60 years of age, and married with two grandchildren and that. So,
he's young for his age, isn't he? Look well, doesn't he? Give him a round of applause. He looks.
I come from a service background, a military service background. We're done 23 and a half years military service, 22 of them full time colour service in West Tyrone and Fermanagh. So it was a Goldahood saying that service was my bones.
Yep.
And I wanted to serve, continue to serve. And we'll come to about February of next year, I'll have 40 years service all round within military and council. And I would encourage younger people to come forward. But don't be taken aback, because sometimes you'll hear it's only one night in a month. It isn't. But I would view that with positivity. I would go forward and give your best to your community that you represent. I come from Omagh Town, represent Omagh Town, but we're in Fermanagh and Omagh District Council, which is the largest council area in Northern Ireland, geographically, with the smallest head of population. Therefore, that the result of that is funding issues that we do have when we come down to a small population. But we try to do our best to represent everyone. And Cheryl had spoken on play areas, and it's one of the biggest things that we have in our council term. Because we had the COVID pandemic, we were dealing with a lot of that. But what we have done is the play areas strategy is moving forward. And in my own area, we have a destination play area just about to be opened. And there's another one not too far away from us. And that's happening right throughout the district.
But following that on, so therefore, there, whilst it's not maybe easy at times and all the rest of it, you get good satisfaction when you deliver for your people.
There's good satisfaction, and others have touched on it as well. We're very much a minority unionist council. We have 14 unionists in total, five of which are the Democratic Unionist Party. And so we have to fight for everything. And my motto always was respect, equality and fairness for all. Special privileges for none. And I took that with me to council on the last election, and that was my election paperwork, and I stick to that. And we hold their feet to the fire if they're not producing the goods right across the board.
Thank you very much. Good man there. Jeannie, same question to you. So what advice would you give to someone here considering putting their name forward for the next election?
Thanks for the question, Paul. Quite a difficult question. Being a councillor can be really difficult at times, and that's just me being honest. The work-life balance is sometimes non-existent, especially with a young family at home. A lot of guilt sets in, but I made the decision to run for council before I was a family woman, so that's one of my main priorities on top of being a mum. But I suppose hybrid working provided a great opportunity for people like myself and Cheryl to be able to be at home with our young families and also represent our constituents in the council. As a group, we decided quite early on in the COVID pandemic that we would try to be in the council chamber as much as possible, because that is where you best represent the people that elected you. But being a councillor can be extremely difficult because people expect you to be on call 24/7 for everything that goes wrong or they want to celebrate in their life, and that can cause a lot of problems at home. But it's enjoyable, and it's what I wanted to be elected to do. It was to represent people and serve them as best I can, and I really enjoy doing that.
Gert, well done. Margaret, pick up on that same question.
Okay, Paul, thank you. And I said I was an elected representative from 2015.
Hold your microphone.
Sorry, Paul. Gert. Basically, if you were thinking about it, I would be asking myself the question, why do I want to be a councillor? Do you want to serve your community? Do you want to try to deliver for people? Have you been working with the community? And don't think that you haven't got the confidence to do it, because we all feel like that. Even up here this morning, everybody was like, oh dear, the shaking and everything. So don't think that you're not confident enough to do it, because anybody can. Everybody brings something to the council. Maybe you came from an economic development background. There's always something, and there's always a niche, and there's always a team to help work with you. My strength would be working within the community. And I was going into council, as does my other colleagues, and you know, you want to deliver play parks, you want to deliver this and you want to deliver that. There's nothing as discouraging as when you've worked on something for 7 years and you see 6 likes and 2 shares on Facebook, right? But this just highlights to you exactly what is happening now in the council. I shared 2 nights ago that ASDA is doing an offer for soup and tea and coffee and sandwiches, and it got 137 likes, or sorry, 137 shares, which is quite unique for me. But it just shows you what is needed on the ground at the minute. And I have to say, I work with 10 other councillors, 2 MLAs and 1 MP, and they are genuinely on the ground every day working with those constituents. We've been totally blessed with our contacts with local businesses, and myself and Jim has had a contact with a number of local businesses that has been giving us food on a weekly basis to take that into all of the communities. And folks, that is what our communities are needing at the moment. Yes, all of these strategies and all of these things that we work with in the council, but it's what we are getting into those areas at the minute. And we were at one group last night, and there was people arrived at that group last night that we were actually took back from, and they sent us a text to say they couldn't believe that the Lord had placed us there that night for to give them that bit of food. That's what we're facing with at the moment in the local council. So, and I am just totally blessed and thankful I have the opportunity to be able to have those connections as a councillor and to be able to share that with the local communities. Thank you.
Tell us about your mayorship and your leadership role, taking the same approach and promoting so from that point of view.
Thank you, Chair. Well, as I said, I first came on the council in 2013, and I was a young whippersnapper then. I had a lot of experience around me, but at that stage I had no real aspirations as to where that would take me in the future. But I was delighted that the DUP group nominated me for the position of mayor of the council in June past. I've just yesterday was 4 months into the role, and who would have believed the year that it would have been to be mayor of Lisburn and Castlereagh City Council? Obviously, we are home to Royal Hillsborough. We were particularly delighted last year myself and our party colleagues to have been heavily involved in the letters patent and the receipt of that from Her Majesty conferring royal status on Hillsborough. But I instantly came into the role. My predecessor saw the first part of the Platinum Jubilee events. The AGM was scheduled for the day of the Jubilee. It was postponed to the following Tuesday, and I took over then. So I was straight into a series of Platinum Jubilee events for young people, for older people, WIs. I don't know how many WI tea parties I was at in the first couple of weeks, but all the old dears loved it, and I did too. So, but it was tremendous to see the community, and coming out of COVID and where we've been this past couple of years, it was tremendous to see that sense of occasion that people wanted to celebrate with the Platinum Jubilee. Then fast forward that obviously to recent weeks and the unfortunate and untimely death of the Queen. That was certainly a significant time for me. And I think now I'm delighted that it was a DUP mayor that held that position, because it was an honour and privilege for me to have been involved heavily in Operation Shamrock with the Northern Ireland office through our own council team. And I pay tribute to each and every one of them, because there was tremendous work ethic behind the scenes. Every mayor is briefed on the operation and what might happen, and everyone sort of pushes it aside and says it's not going to happen in my tenure. Well, I was briefed only early August, and less than just over a month later, we were implementing the plan. So it led to great opportunities for me personally, I suppose, to be involved with. Well, I met the Secretary of State probably before most of our members of Parliament met him as Secretary of State and the Minister. And then I had the tremendous opportunity to be present on Proclamation Day, and then on the Tuesday when the King arrived for his first visit in Northern Ireland. It was a wonderful experience for me and my family to be introduced, and my family to have met the King on his first visit as sovereign. Going on from that, I suppose, the role of First Citizen is a very important one, and I've met groups from far and wide across our council area, from Dundraw to Dundonald and everywhere in between. And there's some groups come to you, and you receive a request and you say, are they trying to catch me out? Is this a DUP mayor that they would love to say no and play on that? And there have been some of those groups. There have been some of those groups in with you this week. And to be honest with you, the answer was yes, I will host you. And I think that took them back more, that as a DUP representative, you agreed to do that and that you were respectful, because, the banner behind me says moving forward together. And that's what I tell these groups. You're First Citizen. You're First Citizen of the whole borough. But I'm also a DUP representative, and I represent the party. And as the youngest DUP mayor of Lisburn, I'm delighted to hold the position. I'm delighted that as a party, we have a wealth of experience now within our council. We've been those that have been there for a number of years, those that have returned from the Assembly, even the local government, and some that are setting out on their council experience too. So it's been a delight for me to be mayor and to be First Citizen, and it's four months into the job. We talk about work-life balance. My wife never sees me. Well, she sometimes says that, but it's been a true honour to represent this party in that role.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, Scott. Well done. Okay. So here's the opportunity for you to put your money where your mouth is. So the question is, would you consider standing for election in the future? So let's hear. Fingers on the button. Off you go. This will be an interesting one. Don't let me down or disappoint me now here. Wow, there we are. That's not a bad result now. I'm happy with that one. Okay. So see me afterwards and we'll get you signed up. Okay, second question, what would help empower you to stand for election? And again, there's four options here coming up on the screen. Better opportunities, bespoke training, part-time working, or family-friendly policies. So again, fingers on the button, and let's get an answer for this, and we're running out of time. Okay, again, thank you very much for your answers, and that will help again us to look at our policies and our processes and see how we better can bring those to the fore and to fruition so that we can assist people to come forward and to put their names in. I think what you've seen here this morning is a variety from all walks of life and from different backgrounds from all across the council area, the different problems that they face and counter and all the rest of it. But if you look at it, they're smiling on all their faces. So they're reasonably happy somewhere along the line in what they do. And I believe that it's good to represent. And I notice my colleague, Councillor McCrae, or Mr. McCrae, Reverend McCrae, came to the front as I was speaking. And this is, I said I was the granda, so he must be the great granda, because he taught me everything I know. And if I have went wrong, then it's his fault. But I learned my apprenticeship under this man. And that's one of the things that I think that we're missing today, and that is that our younger generation needs to learn from those that have experience, and gain that experience, work up through the process, and get yourself established, and then you'll be able to serve our party, and we'll be able to go forward together. Thank you very much indeed. Okay.